All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, November 2nd of 2024. And just looking ahead to the weekend, we have a ton of DFS action. We have NHL, we have NBA, we have college football, we have MMA, we have NASCAR, we have NFL, we have Formula One. If you guys aren't signed up with Saber Sim and want to check us out, we do have a 5-day no strings attached free trial. I always recommend getting signed up on the weekend so you get access to all of those awesome sports over the weekend and then take you into the week. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there was a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. Also, a reminder, we do have a special build review show today. We're going to be doing that at 1:30 p.m. Eastern following office hours. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I took the day off to go to the Dodgers World Series Parade. It was a ton of fun, so I didn't want to cancel the show. Wanted to carry it over and make sure we got everybody's reviews in, so I will be doing that a little later today, and we have plenty of people signed up, so going to be super busy. All right, let's jump into office hours. We do have some questions here in the YouTube chat and the Discord, so we will knock these out one at a time. We'll just go straight down the list. So Deshaun said, what are some ways that you're adding value to your NFL builds after they run? Are you using any filters for ownership, etc.? Good question. So for NFL, I am just using a projection and ROI filter, really based on what we've seen in the post-contest sim reviews, like on the build review show. So normally what I'll do is come in here and, you know, run some lineups. I have talked about this extensively, like reviewing my own builds. There was actually a question on that, I believe, on Thursday's show. And I went and found the link to the episode where I did that. So I'll actually show that to you guys real quick in case anybody else missed me posting that in the Discord. But let me pull it up. Or better yet, I can just drop the link to that one in the YouTube chat. So it's going to be the 925 build review show. I went over reviewing all of my contests. So I just dropped that here in the YouTube chat. It was like a build review show day. We didn't have anybody signed up, so I just took the opportunity to review my own stuff. So check that out. Just dropped it for you. But basically, it's just coming in here like for an NFL Classic slate, running my build, running my contest sim, setting up a couple filters. I like to shave off the bottom 10% of projected lineups, which just comes in here and set something up that says show lineups with projected score greater than X. And I basically just keep adjusting X until I've trashed about 10% of the lineups in my pool, because in the post-contest sims, we've seen that projection does matter. There's usually like a range, right? Like the top sets are anywhere from, you know, 135 to 140, right? You don't need to be the highest projected player, but having a good solid baseline, a floor for your projection does seem to matter, right? We see people coming in like in the 125s and 124s, like really, really low. They just can't get to that higher sim ROI. So that ends up mattering. And then I'll always do a projection ROI greater than zero filter only for pre-slate. I don't do that in late swap. And I don't even do this one in late swap. I basically, like, once I get to that afternoon window, I'm just trying to optimize my lineups the best way that the builder sees fit at that point. So no projection or lineup filters for late swap, but I'm using those two pre-slate. All right, next question. For multipliers, 3X and 5X, where you are trying to get approximately top 33% and top 20%, should you be adjusting the number of uniques in your lineup pool, or does such diversification have less of a role in these type of contests and could actually hurt your performance in the contests? As a follow-up in these multipliers, should you be doing your final lineup sort by projected score or using Saber score? Thanks. Good question. So I would probably be still using sim mode, first of all, and I would probably still be using, it's a little tricky. What I would probably do is use a percentile. So, like, you know, we go into this build we ran, right? You can come in here. You can go to percentiles. I would be using 75th, right? That is going to be really close to the cash line where you're at. And, you know, this is like the band that you're shooting for, right? 20 to 33% is like what you said. So sorting your lineups by 75th percentile is probably going to be the best option for multipliers. So that's what I would be doing. I think it's okay to include a little bit of diversification. Just make sure you are not significantly sacrificing projection. You know, if your projection drops 2 points is probably too much. So, you know, it's okay to get some diversification if you're dropping, you know, 0.2 projection, 0.3 projection, 0.5 projection, right? But when you start getting into like whole numbers, that's when I would probably be a little concerned or like take a step back. So if you can get diversification with very little trade-off, do it, try it out. But if you have to get, if you have to trade a lot of projection to get it, then I would probably not do it or just stop at whatever point you're at. But that's what I would be doing for those multipliers. All right. Next question. I'm in some low stakes NHL 3-max contests and also a NFL 5-max where the sim settings don't auto-populate. For 3 and 5 maxes, what's the preferred build setting, single entry or 20 max? Good question. I would probably say it's fine to use single entry for the field lineups. 20 maxes, it just, you know, it's a little further away. I think those contests are going to play a lot closer to the way single entries play. So when you're setting up your manual field settings and your sim settings, I would be using single entry. All right. Demetrius said, please show us an MMA build. Sure. So let's go to MMA for today. Big 14 fight card. MMA, 14 fight. So, you know, full disclaimer, right? I am not an MMA expert, right? So I would be coming in this with a very like hands-off approach. I would be looking at what this rule says. Don't use opposing fighters. That seems correct to me. Another thing I'd be doing is probably lowering minimum salary. You know, I like to open up my salary band for sports that are heavy on duplication. I'm going to lower lineups to 500. I'm going to make the two minor projection adjustments here. And I typed it wrong. 84.8. Good. That unlocks our lineups. Other than that, I wouldn't be doing anything in the home screen, right? Going to let SaberSim handle all this. Let our models guys trust their data there. And then I'd be kicking this off. I was saying that you would just use single game saber score if you don't have contest sims. But let's say, you know, I am playing the $1 20 max, the jab, right? It's probably a good contest to play. So I'm going to go back to my build. Lineups have finished. So at this point, what I would be doing is the saber score. I would be using... So I would check my build settings. So when you're on Sim Diversity 10, and you're using SaberScore, you should be switching to MMA Sim Diversity 10 because this one will have the Sim Optimals variable. Now, if you're building and you're using less than Sim Diversity 10, if you're coming in here and manually changing it, then I would be using MMA Default, which does not account for Sim Optimals. It's going to look more like baseline SaberScores. And we do have a video talking about the differences between these two. If you guys want to know more about that, it's on our YouTube how to beat MMA playlist. All right. But either way, I'm going to use the contest sims here since I have access to those. So I would just be making sure that I'm using the contest sim that I ran. If you uploaded an entries file, you could just use target ROI because I'm doing manual. I had to switch to the lineup to the contest sim that I have. Now from here, what I would like to do is come in and set up a couple aggregate metrics. So I want to see average projection, average salary, and average ROI. These are the three that are going to matter to me here. So once I set these up, I'm using my ROI check. So far, everything looks good. I want to move some columns around so I can see everything I want to see. I'm mostly trying to get to this exposure pool leverage just so I could do some risk management. All right, so I've moved these columns around, about ready to rock and roll here. So there's a couple different ways you can approach this, right? If you don't have opinions, I think it's fine to try and use mini-neeks here. Now, I'm going to note my metrics here, right? 421.8 projection, 43% ROI. Going to two just drops the ROI like a point and a half and projection slightly moves. I think that's fine. Let's try three. What does three do? So three, we get a lot bigger drop, right? Average projection drops about 5 points. I wouldn't like that. I would go back to two. But even, you know, what are some of the differences between two and one? Slight differences, right? Top exposure 75% at one versus 70% at two. I think some diversification, if you can get it for very little trade-off, is good, like we were talking about for the multipliers. So I would be good with a mini unique of two here. And we could just see, you know, that only took us down to lineup 24. So we skipped a few lineups here. Not a huge deal. But other than this, things you can do, right? You can come in here and add a geometric mean custom metric and filter, or you could have set up a rule prior to building, right? Come in here, set something up, a metric that looks like this, where it's calculating the geo mean value for each lineup. You can filter out, you know, 10% to 20% of lineups with geo mean. So show lineups with geo mean less than X, and I would just make up a number, say 30. And that got rid of about 5%. So then I could lower it. Okay, so now we're like gotten rid of like a little over 15% of our lineups, which is cool, right? You could do a geo mean filter. I've seen people do some ownership filters, right? Come in here, say show lineups with ownership less than X, and we just make up a number, maybe like 180. And I would turn off the other filter before analyzing this one so you can know the effect that it has independently. So 185 gets us about 10% of our lineups in the trash. So that seems good. So we have geo mean, some ownership. If you're going to be doing ownership filters, I would also be doing projection. So just so like you almost like counterbalance it. So show lineups projection greater than maybe like 390 might be good. We can go a little higher, 393. Try that out. Okay. Let's go 397. Okay, so 397 gets us about 10%. So I have three filters right now, right? I have geo mean, I have some ownership, I have projection. You know, these are all like good filters that you could be using. And then I forgot, like if you're using contest sims, you can do ROI greater than zero. Another solid one. And then I would have probably reset mini uniques to one and kind of restarted that process, right? So we're at 416.8, 39% ROI. See what two does. See, we dropped 0.4 projection and like 2% ROI. And then I'd probably stop there, right? So I've applied a number of filters to try and account for duplication, to try and counterbalance my duplication accounting for. I've added some diversity and I'm about ready to rock and roll. So I'd be happy entering these lineups. I don't have a problem with them at all. And I think they're pretty solid. But that's what I'd be doing for MMA if I was building for today. All right. Let's take a peek back at the Discord. Because I think I saw one more question coming in. All right. Got one from Maverick. And let's get this in the queue. All right, Maverick said, What is your take slash opinion on fading high owned players that don't affect the overall portfolio projection much? I think it's fine if you want to do it, right? Like if you can get to a similarly projected slash like similar EV portfolio while adding your takes in, I think that's fine, right? So, you know, that's a personal decision. Usually, like, there is a reason that players are high-owned, right? So I come at more from the standpoint of why is this player high-owned and does it make sense, right? So, like, I will, you know, go and look at, like, the top players who are projected for ownership and be like, okay, you know, NBA yesterday, like, okay, why is Mo Wagner projected for, you know, 50% ownership? But then you go and look and it's like, oh, okay, Wendell Carter Jr. and Goga are both out today. So like those are the two primary players that would take opportunities away from him. But since they're out, he's going to get a lot of minutes. You know, it does make sense to me that he's high owned. Sometimes you're going to see ownership that's high and it's almost just because the field doesn't really know where else to go because there's actually little value on the slate and the little value that's there ends up getting tons of ownership if you're building with traditional optimizers. In those situations, I'm like, I don't really love this play. You know, I'm a little more inclined to fade them, right? So I come in it from like that angle, but for your question, while fading the highest owned players that you want to take a shot on, I think that's totally cool. All right. Deshaun said, I've seen an NBA video where you were looking for ways to get different with injury value. Do you do anything similar for NFL injury value? Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. So, you know, I'm always like tracking, you know, injuries. I mean, we see stuff, you know, recently, like things I can think of, the situation with like the Bucks running backs, the Jaguars running backs, you know, players getting traded, right? Any type of situation that is new, that there is not a lot of value, not a lot of data, not a lot of certainty, any type of situation like that is a situation that I actively try and spend a little bit of extra time trying to make an opinion on, because projections are generally going to be fairly like conservative in those situations because there's not a lot of data to go on. And if I feel like something makes sense to take a shot in one direction or another, I will definitely do that. So yeah, I think that's a good thing to do if you could find a way to do that. All right. Good stuff here. Looks like we're all caught up with questions in both the YouTube chat and the Discord. We did an MMA demo as well. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back at 1:30 p.m. Eastern for our build review show on this Saturday. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.